Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, the second Sunday of Lent. And once again, I just want to say to you, check out our website, renewalministries.net. Click on the bookstore, and you can order a copy of my CD, Be Strong in the Lord. Be Strong in the Lord, learning how to put on the armor of God and fight the enemy. If you haven't purchased it, I highly recommend my book, Deeper Conversion. It's a book that's been out for a while, but again, it's meditations on the Sunday Gospels of Matthew during ordinary time, not during Lent, and not during Advent, but during ordinary time. And so we have about 36 Sundays, I believe, during this year that will use the Gospel of Matthew. So if you would like a copy of that book, Deeper Conversion, I really ask you to take a look and see if ordering that copy of the CD or the book or both would be helpful for you. Let's take a look now at the readings for this Sunday, the opening prayer. O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. First reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now, just listen to that. Leave everything and go to a land that I'm going to show you. But he hasn't shown him yet. He didn't tell him what his destination was. Pack up everything, everybody, and go. It's not easy, brothers and sisters. It's faith. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you. I love this sentence. Abram went as the Lord directed him. Must have been some confusion there. Must have been some uncertainty. Who could he talk to except his wife? It must have been very hard. Sometimes we're called to do things we don't understand and things that aren't clear to us. And yes, we need to test them out. Yes, we need to connect with other people to talk about them and to get wisdom from others. Yes. But the decision has to rest with you and me. Am I going to do what God asked me, even though I can't see every jot and tittle of the plan? Oh, that's hard for us. But again, sometimes the Lord asks us to make a radical change, a radical step. We need to pray a lot. We need to seek his face. We need to make sure self isn't in there in a primary spot. Self will always be with us, but that it's not primary. I want your will, God. I want your way. And then we can step out. I remember going through that in my own life, and I needed counsel. I thought I knew what God wanted, and it turned out to be right, but I needed counsel from other people. Help me. Help me see this so that I'm not blinded by anything, so that my own self is not blinding me to something I should pay attention to. You want people who will speak the truth to you, people who know you, who love you, who speak the truth to you. So it was with Abram, who became Abraham, our father in the faith. Psalm 33, Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Where else are you going to put your trust? You can't put it in the stock market. For heaven's sakes, don't. You can't put it necessarily in the grand ideas of others. You put your trust in God. And then if God opens the door for you to some of these things, fine. But don't be grabbing and grasping to get what you want. Because all the promises of the world are not infallible. The only thing that's infallible is the Word of God. Promises can fail. People can fail. Plans can fail. Put all your trust in Him. All your trust in Him. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. Where is your hope? Is it your hope in people, places, and things on this earth? I mean, there are ordinary ways we put our trust in other people to accomplish this or do such and such a thing with us or whatever, of course. I'm talking about plans that affect your whole life. Even if they don't affect your whole life, you want to test out, is this person worthy of my trust? I really want to encourage you to seek to trust the Lord as much as you can. Ask God for that grace. Lord, may I trust you more today than I did yesterday. So if big things come along, you're in a place of trust. Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Hardship is there, brothers and sisters. This is not a life. It's not supposed to be a life of roses. Life is overcoming ourselves. Life is giving ourselves to God. Life is doing good for as many people as we can. Life is for reaching out to people and bringing them to God. That's why we're here. This is not our lasting home. It isn't. Our home is in heaven with God. Where are you putting your trust? He saved us. He called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to His own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You follow the light of the gospel, you live forever. And it's not more just of this life. Some people would say, if this life is all there is, I don't know that I want to live it forever. I understand that. This life can be filled with sorrows and pain and difficulty as well as some joys. I don't mean to negate. There are many things in this life that have been beautiful and delightful, but this is not my eternal home. There's a lot more to come. And everything here is passing. Only what is in heaven lasts forever. That's where I'm going. I hope. I pray. And I want to bring as many people with me as I can. So where are you going to put your trust in life? In yourself? In the world's values and priorities? Or in God? The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. He was changed. They saw him in glory. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good that we're here. Peter, he just tries to get everything together. Lord, it's good for that we're here. So if you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Notice he's not thinking of himself. I'll make three tents so you can live here and we can come and visit you. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Make that sentence your own. Allow it to be addressed to you because it is. "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Don't equate a little of God and a little of the commentator on TV or a little of God and a little of the internet. I don't mean that you can't watch TV or you can't go on the internet, but don't equate them. The wisdom is infinitely different. The priorities are infinitely different. Give God time. Give God lots of time so that your heart is more and more and your mind is more and more filled with his values and his priorities and his standards. That's what makes eternal life possible. You have free choice. Make it. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them. Look at that. Jesus, who is in glory, who's being revealed in glory before them, he came over to them and he touched them and he said, "Rise, don't be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. They were given a revelation. John Paul says this. They were given a revelation of the glory of Jesus, that it might enable them to go down the mountain of Transfiguration and climb the mountain of Calvary. That's what enabled them to endure. Even if they made mistakes, even if they denied him, they came back. They persevered. They had seen him in glory. God gave them that moment because he knew what was ahead for them. He wanted to give them courage. He wanted to give them hope. He wanted to deepen their faith. And so he wants to for all of us. However he does it, give God time. Let his word encourage you. Let the truths of the gospel build you up, lift you up. They're true. Utterly true. I pray so much that you may know him and love him and desire to follow him. I want you to live with him for all eternity. That's what God has for us, where every tear will be wiped away, where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death anymore. On Monday, I want to read you something from Father Cantalamessa about the Transfiguration. So stay tuned on Monday. May God bless this weekend before you and lead you closer to himself. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.